This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins the national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is always my least favorite show of the year. The day after baseball season ends, and it's ending a lot earlier than any of us would have expected, or really than it probably should have, too. But it's good to be with you today. We would have done this show one way or the other, even if Arkansas would have won two games yesterday and we had a game today. Even if they'd have gone 3-0, we'd have been celebrating. We'd have been previewing and everything. And now we can have, I guess, a little bit of a cathartic 3 hours here on halftime. Matt Jones, good morning to you. It is great to see you. This is the best part of the day so far. You're looking very pretty today.
I do like it when you lie to me. At least it gets everything started off on the right track.
Well, I'm trying to get the week started properly.
You're getting good at it. It was a good weekend. Got to play some golf with my buddies. Watch a little sport here and there, kind of rest up, and saw the Hogs play a little bit. Kind of that one kind of hurt, Phil.
Just a little bit, that's for sure.
Got to see the Canadian Open, the Scottish. He won it with his dad on the bag, so that was cool this weekend. You had the Champions League final. You had all sorts of stuff that was going on. NBA Finals getting set. But everybody, yeah, the Razorbacks taking the L. That's what's kind of top of mind.
You know, when you look at the levels that you can play in the NCAA tournament, the regional final is the next level after really the regional. So we're looking at this. You know, Arkansas lost in the regional final last year, had been defeated by Missouri State in 2017 in a fifth game, in a game that regional went to Monday because of the game that went till 3 o'clock in the morning. This is the earliest that a Razorback baseball season has ended, being that it ended 1-2 in a regional since the 2016 season, which ended without any postseason. That team didn't even make it to the SEC tournament. So it's a backslide, there's no doubt. And it's very disappointing to see the season end with a loss to anybody, Southeast Missouri nonetheless. And really, for a regional, Matt, that when I'm studying these teams that were there, and when you're looking at some of the other regions, this did not look like one of the more difficult regions for the number one seed to get out of. But you know, some of the problems that had been ailing Arkansas over the last month, and really some of the problems that had ailed them all throughout the season, came to roost this last weekend in these last three games, and really more than anything in the last couple of ball games. So there's just a lot to walk through, and I think the first thing is just sort of trying to get through the disappointment of it, because it's still fresh. I mean, that game, it's been less than 24 hours since the season ended, and I try not to take I hope we try not to take for granted the levels of the postseason that you've become accustomed to playing through. So I wasn't making plans for the Super Regional yet. I wasn't making plans for the College World Series yet. You know, we had a listener, I forget who it was, I think it was Andy in Mountain Home, told me on Friday on the text line that one of the reasons he was really nervous is because he has non-refundable rooms in Omaha, which I hope you're able to find a way to either get rid of those or maybe go watch the other, you know, eight other teams in the College World Series. But, you know, this tells me, you just got to walk through the disappointment of it first. I'm not sure like the levels to start at, but this is not the sort look, I guess there's like different levels of disappointment, right? For this team was ranked number one in the country for like a month. You can't help but keep those expectations at a really high level for a team that won, what was it, 27 consecutive home games, every home series for the second year in a row. A team that led the nation in ERA from the very start of the season until the very end of it. I couldn't help but, you know, let some of those expectations sort of just like form in front of you and you start to dream about what it could happen. But you saw some of the cracks in the armor about a month ago.
Well, it's kind of, I would put it in this perspective or kind of make this analogy or draw from here, Phil. It's like a one or a two seed in the NCAA tournament getting beat by that, you know, a 15-2 seed getting upset. I mean, and you got to have, you know, expectations kind of temper what we, you know, what we expect, what we think is going to happen is in the talent level up there. And so we were expecting to make it to the next level. We were expecting to be hosting either Virginia or Mississippi State, and it didn't work out that way.
Yeah, I mean, the cracks in the armor really are the team needed to score a couple extra runs per game in the last month when they were losing more than they were winning than they needed to score it pretty much the first, what, about 10, 11 weeks of the season. Now, look, we've known from the start that it has looked like an offensively challenged club, especially when it comes to hitting in clutch situations. They had the lowest batting average, runners in scoring position in the SEC. Now, they started to hit the ball over the fence a little bit more in the last month or so, but still, this team had been built, Matt, on, I think, two things: starting pitching and fielding. Those two things. The bullpen really, I think, started to grow as the season went on, but then it got too taxed. Then there were too many innings for the bullpen to pick up because the starting pitching began to falter. And for all of the issues that Brady had and that Mason had in the last month, and I hate to put that, this isn't a matter of like putting the regional loss on one player, but this season was sort of designed, Matt, to give the ball to Hagen Smith in the winner's bracket game on a Saturday night in a regional with a lead. And that's the whole reason why instead of him throwing seven innings against Missouri, he threw six. And why instead of throwing seven innings against South Carolina, he threw six. Saving some of those innings, saving some of those pitches for this past Saturday's game. That's what it was all about. And he had the lead, 2-0 lead in the fifth inning on Saturday, and gave up six runs. And it's almost indescribable. You know, it just couldn't have imagined that that happened to that pitcher at that moment. And I really feel like the team played with energy for the remainder of the ball game, just couldn't get that last base hit. That's been the story all year. This was the moment where the batters, the lineup, had to pick Hagen Smith up, and they just couldn't quite do it. And I felt like there was just a little bit of like an emotional letdown that carried over to yesterday, because it just wasn't a game filled with great at-bats yesterday.
Well, we had some deficiencies on this team, and it doesn't help when you have a couple guys, and you hope that Brady Taggart, he gets healthy, you know, Taggart and Molina as well. How many of these kids do we have coming back, Phil? Is a lot of kids on this team coming back?
Well, you're replacing the entire starting pitching rotation just about, you know, unless one of them decides to come back. I mean, Hagen's a top 10 pick. I'm sure Taggart still gets drafted. I'm sure Molina still does too. You're replacing, I think, every position player outside of Vahiva Aloy and Nolan Souza and Ryder Helfrich. I think that's about it. You know, your whole outfield outside of Jason Jones and maybe Will Edmondson, but who knows about the transfer portal. I mean, there's a lot that's being replaced, but there's good pieces that are coming back. And I mean, you already have the baseball transfer portal jumping, so who knows? Maybe in the next few days there's already going to be some news about something like that. But it's going to be a much different-looking team, and it's going to be a completely different starting rotation.
Yeah, it kind of ends with a whimper, you know? It ends with a thud. It just kind of blah. It hurts. It hurts. You put all that effort in. You put all that energy in, all that time, and you're competing, blood, sweat, and tears. So you know, you tip your hat, you clap your hands for the boys out there that put the effort in and thank them. That's all you can do. But as a player, you know, you don't feel satisfied. But there's only one winner every year, and you look back at it, and they won the conference again. And that's the thing. You know, you're able to hang a banner out there. You still did. You see, the last year they were in divisions, you won the West. So, I mean, you gotta. Anytime there's a chance to compete and they're keeping score, man, we're trying. We're competing, and that's what this team does. They gave effort. They just didn't have enough talent. I mean, it comes down to effort or talent. And if you have the talent and then you do the effort, then that's how you have a championship team. We just didn't have the talent. If you're being honest and you're looking at this group of guys, this team was never going to win the college. I mean, you look at it, you're like, yeah.
They were more talented than the two teams they played this weekend, though.
No, I'm not saying they didn't let us down. Yeah, it was they should have, but I never thought this team was going to win the title. Did they achieve to maximum success to where this team could go? No, they did not achieve what this team could do. This team definitely should have been in the region, super regional. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think you could have truthfully, like the loss on Saturday made no sense. Made no sense at all. For Hagan Smith to have a 2-0 lead in the fifth inning, for him to be almost dominant for the first four innings and then fall apart in the fifth made no sense. To out-hit an opponent 13-5, to hold that opponent to one hit over their last, I think it was 11 or 12 at-bats, to have all these opportunities to even outscore an opponent 4-0 in the last three innings, but lose that game 7-6. Kansas State made two errors. Arkansas made no errors. Kansas State barely had any chances to score. They just took advantage of the one inning that they had. And then they just held Arkansas off the rest of the way. Their guys made just enough pitches. I'm not saying it was a fluke. It's just that's not a game that you should lose. And that's the game that makes things turn on the regional. You lose the 1-0 game on a Saturday in the regional, you're in a really difficult position. Part of it is also you got to wake up early the next day and play again.
You got to win two.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And there just felt like there was some kind of, like David mentioned in the postgame presser, but it was a whole different situation. I remember thinking this yesterday, this felt a little bit like the Monday game in the 2017 regional, which was just, like 6, 7, or 8 hours after they'd played at 3:00 earlier that morning, but Arkansas had won that game. They just didn't really show much energy on that Monday against Missouri State, and those pitchers deserve the credit, and their hitters showed the energy too. You know, Simo had all the energy yesterday, and Arkansas just kind of was, I don't know, I don't want to say it was like going through the motions. They just kind of looked a little bit slower.
It was like when Minnesota was playing Dallas there in that game five of the Western Conference. It was kind of they were out there, they were doing it, but they were kind of out on their feet. It was like they're trying, they're giving it what they have, but it's like you're a little bit drained. You're kind of waiting for a spark. You kind of almost in that type of game, you kind of got to get a lead early. Like if you can get a lead and get something going early, it's a little easier. But it's tough, man. Those are tough games to play in.
And then it's 4-0 before you even have your first hit. I mean, by that point, you're like, are we just going to be able to snap your fingers and create something? That's what we were hoping for. It never happened. Never happened. So, hey, for Simo, this is one of the biggest wins in their program's history. And then they lost later on in the afternoon. Kansas State, everybody slept on Kansas State, me included.
They were going La Tech, huh? Yeah.
Everybody was thinking about La Tech. Yeah. K-State, some people think, and maybe they were. They could have been the last team that was welcomed into the tournament.
It's that purple, man. That TCU purple, that Kansas State purple. We got it. We got to fade the purple next year, Phil.
Yeah, I agree with you, man.
No East Carolina next year, all right? Let's just keep the purple teams at bay.
Well, and I'm saying this, you know, the day after it, too. For this is another thing to me that just doesn't make any sense. And maybe it's the pressure that comes along with playing at home or the expectations that maybe you feel through the ether from fans that, you know, put all of the effort that they put into it over the 2.5 months, and the players are doing the same thing. But Matt, the last two seasons now, this is 2 years in a row, Arkansas has not lost a regular season series at Baum and then lost in a regional at home. These things don't make much sense.
Yeah, that's weird, huh?
And the teams that came in here
are inferior.
Kansas, you put Kansas.
They wouldn't have made the. Yeah,
I don't want to say this. This isn't a matter of like insulting the competition. This is just the truth. You put Kansas State and Southeast Missouri in the Southeastern Conference, they're going to finish in the bottom two or three in this division. That's just how it is. So it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. But I want to hear what you think now, now that I've told you what I think. Our McLarty Daniel hotline will be open just about the entire show. Just two guests today. We'll talk with Matt Jones from the Democrat Gazette at 1:15 and look back on the regional and look back on the season and maybe look forward, because you get to start putting a team together pretty quickly. And like Matt had asked and I'd answered, it looks like you're replacing, I don't know the number of production and innings pitch, but you are replacing, I'm going to guess, about 4/5 of the guys that really made an impact upon the team this year. So that's something that I'll be paying attention to, too.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hickey and Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hole Law Partners, specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation, or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hey sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Hey, Matt, you know what sucks? The air conditioning has stopped working inside the home studio.
Is it cool enough to crack a window, get a fan, like, or is it going to...
Pouring right now. With that crack a window, we're going to get some rain through here, man. Okay. So I'm just going to have to, I don't know. You know what we'll do? We'll go to the coolest cat in the state.
There we go.
He's on the McLarty Daniel hotline right here. Mike Irwin can cool us down for a while from Pig Trail Nation. Mike, I'm sweating right now, man. I need your ice cold coolness.
Yeah, it's too cold in this studio, this sports studio. I need to turn the thermometer or whatever that thing is up, because it is. I'm freezing in here.
See, I need a little bit of that. All right, Mike. We had a lot of reaction over the last hour and 20 minutes or so here on the show. I'm sure you've had a lot of folks texting and tweeting and asking for your opinion on the regional and the baseball season. So I just want to give you the floor and let you see what you think about what you saw this last weekend.
Well, I'm still processing. Was totally wrong last week when I researched all of these teams. I honestly thought Kansas State was the weakest team in the regional. Their batting average was low. They didn't hit a lot of home runs. Yeah, pitched to contact, but they didn't really have an impressive season. I really was more worried about SEMO with their home runs and their high team batting average. And they did prove to be the team that eliminated Arkansas. But the thing that I'm still trying to process is how Kansas State scored six runs in one inning off Hagan Smith. Mm-hmm. Because I said that's why Arkansas would advance. They have not lost to two teams all year long at home, and they ended up not losing to two teams. They lost to two teams each, one of each, not one team twice. But that's the game that shocked me, and I still don't know what happened there. I don't know. I look back to Hoover and what was going on there, and everybody said it was okay. They just wanted to save his arm. And I think there's something to these fans that were upset about all these throwaway games. Oh, you didn't really have to do anything in the Sunday game at A&M. Those games at Hoover didn't matter. When you at one point were 39-3 or something like that, and then all of a sudden you start losing more than you're winning, I think at some point you've got to turn that around, and you can't really have throwaway games. You got to start trying to win. And maybe they just got into that mode and couldn't get out of it. I don't know. Or it could be you just had two teams that played over their heads. That does happen. I mean, I'm anxious to see what Kansas State does in the Super Regional to see if are they really going to be like a team like North Carolina State 3 years ago that kind of just shocked everybody, or did they just get hot on one particular weekend and they were just the wrong team for Arkansas to run into? I don't know yet. I haven't figured it out.
Mike, I'll go back to your original point here about this, and I think they caught Hagan Smith on the wrong inning. That's what it's about. I think if that fifth inning goes differently, I think we might be talking about Arkansas and Virginia in a Super Regional. Yeah. I really do. Because this season was built, and you'd mention it, you know, the reason that I thought Arkansas would not lose two games at home in the postseason is because we hadn't seen Hagan Smith lose at home all year long. And look, he lost in Hoover, and I thought that was a different thing. I thought the team played with plenty of energy on Friday and on Saturday. I mean, you should run a game where you have six runs and Hagan on the mound. And that's the thing that's almost more shocking than just the season ending for the pitcher who, look, 2 years in a row, they wouldn't have even made it to a regional without Hagan Smith. He was that valuable last year in the rotation and as a reliever, and he was the best pitcher in the country all year long until the fifth inning on Saturday. And I hate it. I hate it. But look, when you're a Friday ace, when you are the number one pitcher that's going to be drafted, I mean, it is on your shoulders at that point.
Yeah, and what really happened? I mean, was he somewhat distracted? I know for a fact that he not only understood all the hype that he was the top player in the country, had the lowest ERA, and a pitcher in the country and lowest ERA, but he wanted this to be the best team in the country. And was he affected by what was going on around him? Did that get to him at some point? I don't know. Maybe it was just the fluke that happened, you know, the fluke base hit and then the bunt, and you do walk a guy, and then you don't give up home runs, but you gave up a home run to a dangerous home run hitter, and then all of a sudden something that you didn't think could happen happened. I just know baseball has always been the sport that mystified me more than all others. Sports itself can be, you know, you can be wrong about things, but baseball constantly surprises me at all levels. And so for that reason alone, we probably shouldn't be surprised, but we still are. And I think part of the problem with the fan base is when you invest this much energy into a season and it goes this long, and then you're looking the day after at a big giant black hole, how do you process that? You process it with anger. People are lashing out. They're probably saying things they don't really believe. But you got to get that frustration out some way. And what are you going to do, talk about football for 3 months? I mean, I don't know what you do.
Well, it's you're exactly right. Yeah, no, I don't want to like that. That's the position that I find myself in now, Mike. You know, I mean, I live my life based upon the schedule that's put there in front of me by Arkansas Athletics. You know, and I've had my weekends basically planned for me since August, and I wasn't ready for it to end. And, you know, and I felt anger. I mean, I cap on it. I don't release it or anything. It's just because I want to see them play well. I love that team. I love these guys. I want to see them perform well. I want to see them succeed and enjoy it. I don't want to see them, you know, walking off the field with tears unless it's in Omaha. I don't want to see the end of their careers. I hate seeing Will McIntyre, the end of his career. I mean, I've known that kid since he was 3 years old. I hate seeing that. That's where it's like the anger's got to slide a little bit. And I'm just like, then it's a little bit of like an emptiness. Now I don't know what to do with myself. What do you do with yourself? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have to do something. And along about SEC media days in the middle of July, we'll start gearing up for football, but it's too early for that. I don't know. There was some recruiting news yesterday in football that was good. I think for one thing, what I'm going to do for a few days is talk about that post-game presser yesterday, because there were some interesting things. Dave Van Horn talking about a change in hitting philosophy. And indicated that, you know, Nate Thompson, you know, believes in his philosophy, but he's also willing to change. And that they even tried last year in recruiting to go with a more athletic type, somebody that's not a hulking home run hitter, I think he said, but a more athletic type that could get singles and doubles, but then run around the bases and move around the bases and move each other around the bases. And I think that's something fans, if they absorb it, is going to excite them a little bit, because that's sort of the belief. Now, I mean, I just saw an article that was written on Nate Thompson, and it kind of blows up some of the fallacies about him going back to when he first got here and compared to Vitello when he was here as the hitting coach. But I think fans will be excited to look at a possible change in the hitting philosophy and the kind of athletes you bring in here. He didn't say anything about pitching, but I would be interested in that too. I don't have anything against a strikeout guy like Hagan Smith, but I think you can have too many of those guys. And when you have a lot of them, it puts a whole lot of pressure on the head coach to know when to pull somebody. When has this guy gone too long? Do I pull Hagan Smith out in that game when he's just given up, you know, three runs? Do I leave him in and he gets the three-run homer? What do I do? So it puts more pressure on your head coach to manage a starter, and then it puts more pressure on your bullpen. But then we had a lot of bullpen guys that were strikeout guys. And you're sitting there looking at every pitch thinking, is he going to strike this guy out? Not is he going to get, you know, a double play here? Is he going to get a fly ball to the outfield? That kind of stuff wears on you as a fan, I think, just sitting there looking and going, got to strike this guy out. Got to strike this guy out. That's not – pitching shouldn't be that way all the time. And it seems like with this team, that's what you were looking at over and over and over again.
Mike, and to kind of close out here on this, it feels like maybe some of the anger has a little to do with we put a lot of our eggs in the baseball team as far as success for Arkansas Athletics in this last year. You know, the football season was a dud. Men's basketball season was a dud. Women's basketball season didn't go very well. And then the soccer even took a step back. Like, you know, volleyball did well and gymnastics did well and track continues to do well. And so do the golf teams. But when it came down to March and the major sports at that point hadn't done much, we put all our eggs in baseball and they don't make it through a Fayetteville regional. You know, it's just, it's a tough way to end what has been kind of a tough athletics calendar.
Well, Nolan always talked about creating a monster and then you have to feed it. And I think Dave Van Horn understands this. He has created a program, and Norm did this too. You create a program where fans expect success. And I would much rather have that than a program where you have a season like we had now, and fans go, "Oh, I'm not upset. It was a good, you know, you won the West. You were a high national seed. That's okay. That's good enough." Nobody likes a lot of this negative reaction, but I just think in the long run, what it's an indication of is the kind of program you have. The expectations are there, and it's good to have, much better to me to have those than to have some fan base that really doesn't expect you to do anything.
Let's leave it there, Mike. We're right up against the break. Appreciate you hopping on, and we'll revisit next week, okay?
Okay, see you.
Mike Irwin with us.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pig Trail Nation. Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need as we get close to summer. Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Back into halftime for hour number three. Phil Elson with Matt Jones and the C unit. Is he C unit today, Matt? What name do we have for C unit in the producer's
chair? He might be
today?
C Barbershop. He's looking good today, man.
What is the deal
going on?
Does Barry he not Stream? Realize who he's working with here?
Yeah, I just had a lot of hair, and you could have made a wig with what I had cut off, and it was crazy. The people that
he looks very springy today. Very, very spry. Like, don't yeah, he
I'm a new man.
Yeah.
You like a job interview or something? I mean, you're unhappy at ESPN Arkansas? What's going on here?
That's not it at all.
Are you making your significant other, your wife,
happy?
It's
a happy? Video resume. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a new dating profile, isn't it?
Well, does it look better than longer hair? That's kind of what I was going for.
You look nice and neat.
Yeah, you look great.
Just make it nice and neat.
All right.
Very good. That'll be $8, by the way. Well, congratulations on the haircut. Matt, when's the last haircut you gave yourself?
a couple weeks ago. I had to
last
shave
week
the,
I gave myself
shave
one.
The noggin. Yeah.
I even tipped myself $6 just for the effort.
Nice.
It's
nice.
Really good. Hey, there's tough news here coming in from Mexico. Hall of Fame offensive lineman Larry Allen died out of the blue on vacation with his family in Mexico at age 52. Part of
Cowboys,
one of the greatest
yeah.
dynasties in NFL history. Yeah. Larry Allen passing away, age 52. Just saw that on the headlines on ESPN. Man, he's a Hall of Famer. Went to Sonoma State. Is that a Division II program? Very impressive. 11-time Pro Bowler, went into the Hall in 2013. And, his rookie year was their second Super Bowl championship. So I know a lot of Cowboys fans will be in mourning for that, and probably the whole world of football will be mourning for that. Matt, I guess I should start putting on the NBA Finals once we get to it on Thursday. So I'll watch some Super Regionals. I'll watch some of the College World Series. I won't watch it with the same kind of interest that I would like to. So I should watch the Finals, because you think this will be a good series?
You know what? I really do. Boston has four guards that you could match them up with any four guards in the NBA, and you're not going to find a better four. And Derek White, Drew Holiday, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum. I mean, those four right there collect. I mean, that's solid. Kyrie and Luka, and what they're doing, man. Dallas is they've been on fire. Boston leads the NBA in three point shooting. So it's, I mean, I think you got a good series, legacy series. You know, Kyrie Irving is going to be 100% a Hall of Famer if they win this championship, right? I mean, he's probably borderline. I mean, talent wise, I think he's there. But kind of his path he chose. He wins a second title. He's in. Jason Tatum, America. He's America's best basketball player right now. Like, that's America's best basketball player. So it'd be interesting to see what he does in his second finals appearance. I mean, it's you got a lot of storylines, a lot of intrigue. The other thing, Phil, is it's good basketball. You're not, like, when you're watching it, you're not going to be let down being like, this is, no, it's going to be
load management.
Yeah, that's why I'm serious, Phil. As I've gotten older, the NBA regular season, I can't watch it because the stars play 63 games and somebody's taking this, you know, they're just not, it's not the same attention to detail on deep. This right here, this is, you got two really hot teams right now, two talented teams. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun one.
So you don't really have a rooting interest here, right? Are you going to take my World Series approach?
I go for Arkansas. Yeah, no, 100%. I go for Arkansas kids, and I go for seven games. I have zero. The only person in this studio that has rooting interest is C. Maverick over here. He's a Dallas fan. I'm for basketball. Let's see it. Let's go seven games. Let's see these Warriors. Let's see them go out there and fight and see what they got.
Well, we do have a couple of finals that start this week. Dallas and Boston in the NBA.
You see the Canadian team? 06 is the last time a team from Canada's won the hockey. What's the name of the hockey?
I don't think there's been a Canadian Stanley Cup champion.
Since 06, yeah.
Are you sure it's 06? I think it's earlier than that.
Okay.
I think it's like the Canadians, Montreal, maybe in like 93.
For some reason, I thought I heard somebody say it.
Well, Edmonton hasn't been to the finals, I think, since 06.
Okay, there we go.
I think that's what that is. And when I think of Edmonton, man, I don't really follow the NHL anymore, but that was the dominant franchise when I was growing up, and I turned into a hockey fan in the 80s. I mean, that was Gretzky and Messier and Grant Fuhr.
You're right, 93, Montreal.
I think it's the Maple Leafs who, like, choke the most.
Toronto?
Well, the Maple Leafs, I don't even think they've been in a finals since the 60s. That's like, to me, that's the Maple Leafs are the Knicks of the NHL. It's a huge fan base.
Big city.
Big city. You know, it's like, it's almost like a mecca of the sport in a sense. Montreal is really the mecca of the sport for NHL, but Toronto, I mean, come on, Toronto. It's Canada's national sport. Toronto's the biggest city, and I don't think they've won a cup or even been in the finals, I think, since the 60s. That would be just like the Knicks winning an NBA finals, because I don't think they've won one since when? 72? Or is it 72 or 73 with Walt Frazier?
Yeah, I don't remember the...
I think this is hilarious, too. So, of course... I never thought about hockey in Florida, you know, until they started getting some teams there. But the first time I thought about hockey in Florida was the movie Slapshot, because they were going to move the team from Johnstown, Pennsylvania, to Florida, because all the snowbirds are moving into Florida and they want hockey to watch. And then there's Florida, the Panthers, and they play in Plantation. Do you realize this is the longest distance between opponents in a North American championship game or championship series ever? 2,991 miles to drive from Edmonton, Alberta to Plantation, Florida. It'd take you a couple of flights to get there, too. Those are long flights.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I don't know. Couldn't tell you anything about hockey. Yeah,
I just know that
Edmonton are
going to be a little bit more hardcore.
And it's like when you go to a game, it really is like an arcade feel. Like you think of arena football, but you think of an NFL football going to a game. You think of NBA. It's just so compacted and it's so fast. It really is like an arcade sport.
Let's see, we've got the College Hall of Fame ballot is out, and Nick Saban and Urban Meyer
are up for election to the College Football Hall of Fame. Two national championship winning coaches, multiple times over, with completely different reputations. Totally different reputations. And I guess they're not, aren't they competitors now? Is an Urban, you got Saban on game day, Urban Meyer on...
Well, it's Fox and ESPN.
On Fox, so yeah. They're competitors.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are. They're competitors. Their shows are on at the exact same time. Who would you rather listen to? Because with Meyer, I just don't know if he's just lying through his teeth about whatever it is he's saying. I love listening to Saban talk.
The only time I've got to hear Saban was when he was going over the draft. He seems a little more teacher-like. When you're listening to him, you want to take notes. Urban Meyer doesn't. He just seems like you're just kind of like, oh, that sounds cool. That was cool. Yeah, it's a different kind of relationship almost, or a different way they go about it.
Sasquatch in Mountain Home texted in. He's a lifelong Oilers fan. He's texting in from Mountain Home. Are you from Mountain Home? How did you become an Oilers fan? Did you live in Edmonton? Now, I've been to Edmonton. I actually think it's a pretty cool town. I've never been to a hockey game there, but I used to be a hockey fan, and he says best live sporting event is hockey. And I'm going to tell you what, I agree with him. It's been a long time since I went to a hockey game.
Went to a Nashville Predators game, yeah.
Dude, I was lucky enough to go to a lot of Penguins games when they were really good, had really good seats. There is nothing. And I love the World Series, and I've been to NFL playoff game, conference championship games, and that kind of stuff. There is nothing like the NHL finals. If you're there in person, the speed of the game and the way your heart is beating when you have a team that you're really rooting for here, there's nothing like it. Absolutely loved it, but it's been like 16 years since I paid even the slightest bit of attention to the NHL. It's just too much going on here with the Razorbacks and everything else going on in life. Just couldn't really get around to it. So then who else is going in? Oh, yeah, Aaron Donald is also on the College Football Hall of Fame ballot. This is just the ones that are on the headline. I didn't see who else. Let's see who else is on here. Manti Te'o is a first-timer on the ballot. Mark Ingram is on the ballot. DeSean Jackson, played at Cal, is also on the ballot. And holdovers Michael Vick, Marvin Harrison Sr., now you got to throw that in there, and Sean Taylor, the late Sean Taylor. And sometimes you wonder, it's like, how are these guys not already Hall of Famers? Like Mark Ingram, this is a Heisman Trophy winner from 15 years ago.
Yeah, Alabama running back. I mean, I was going to say Vic only went to school 2 years. I don't know if that matters in the college world anymore, 2 years. But Michael Vick was the number one overall pick, took Vautech to a national championship game.
A couple of callers, and then we'll break, and we'll talk with Matt Jones from the Democrat Gazette. Stan in Glenwood is first up. Hi, Stan. Thanks for calling the McLarty Daniel Hotline. How are you?
Good, my friend. Well, I guess we're talking baseball, and I want to talk about our shortstop, Aloy. He done real good in the field, I thought, but boy, did he swung for the fences every time, and I realize he probably led us in home runs, but didn't he lead us in strikeouts too?
Aloy led the team in home runs, RBIs, and was second in strikeouts to Kendall Diggs.
But, man, every time he swung, Phil, it was all or bust. And that's my opinion. I could be wrong.
Well, I think you're right. I think what he did, Stan, is you would see it. And I didn't see it yesterday much, but you would see him kind of I felt like he tried to shrink his strike zone a little bit more once he got to two strikes. But, yeah, he looked frustrated yesterday swinging into a pitch that was, what, like a couple of feet above his head? And he wasn't the only one either. There were a couple of even a base hit that Stovall got on a pitch that was, I think, above head level. You usually don't swing at that.
Yeah, but it was that way all year, and they didn't even try to adjust it. Is that right?
Oh, I mean, I think it's too simple to say that there weren't any adjustments here. I think this was a team that actually did have a better looking approach the last month. I think the numbers reflect that, too. So let's take a phone call from Big Keith here is next. Hey, Big Keith, how you doing?
Big Keith up in the house. How you guys doing?
I'm all right.
Hey, man. You're talking from hockey, man. That's my jam. I was all about some Edmonton Oilers, and I was crazy about them. Then when Gretzky went to the Kings, I lived down by L.A., so I was I switched over, man, with him. That hockey in live in person, there's no comparison to any sport. It's crazy fun to see. And then I was going to talk a little bit about the baseball if you want. Oh, wait a second. You said you went to Edmonton. Did you happen to go to that mall they have up there?
Yeah, the West Edmonton Mall. Yes, I even went in the water slide park that they have indoors there. It's crazy.
Yeah, we spent about a week there and probably just took that long to see everything. It's so big.
A week in the mall, huh?
Yeah. But they had the weirdest thing there, too, at Edmonton or Calgary. But they had two Burger Kings right next to each other. Both of them open, both of them selling stuff.
Well, one of them in English, one of them in French, probably.
Maybe. But anyways, I agree with that last caller about the guy just swinging for the fences every single time, and there was no off. And I also noticed a lot of our hitters, when they decide to swing, they're going to swing no matter where the ball is. You know what I mean? It's like 1-1, okay, I'm going to swing at this one, you know what I mean? And it don't matter where it went, they swing. And I don't know if you blame coaches or what, but I love Dave Van Horn. I love him. He's a great coach, but he can't finish, I don't think. And he has problems at the end
Big
of the
Keith,
year.
Wait, hold on one moment here. Are you trying to tell me that a pop up that Dave had nothing to do with means that he can't finish? The 2018 team literally was a caught pop up away or one strike away, and you're telling me that he can't finish, that you're putting that on him? I'm sorry. I think that's ridiculous. But I appreciate your phone call. Thank you. Let's take a break. We'll have Matt Jones from the Democrat Gazette in just a moment on Halftime.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, bathhouse row, and the hiking and biking trails of the national park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Let's go to the McLarty Daniel Hotline. We have Matt Jones with us. He, of course, is in studio. And then Matt Jones from the Democrat Gazette with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline right now. The day after Arkansas, I was going to say the baseball season ends, Matt, but no, we still have some regionals to finish today. We've got super regionals, got the College World Series. So you got like a month left, but it's not involving Arkansas. How you doing today?
I'm good. Hey, were you playing Double Vision because you had two Matt Joneses on the show?
Was that why you chose that song, Matt?
Double Vision.
Yes, that must have been the exact reason why. That's actually that's a perfect choice for this moment. Yes, that's why it happened. Yes,
I've had a few times where I've gone on different sales still, and I can tell that the song has been picked because of the name. You know, it might be Mr. Jones by Counting Crows, or yeah, it's just kind of funny.
Me and Mr. Jones by Amy Winehouse. Is that what you were going to go with?
No, actually, I'll tell you, that in mind. There was an old song, Me and Mrs. Jones. It sure was not that one, but I picked it for me.
All we need is for me to be doing the show at the KSR Studios in Lexington, owned by Matt Jones, the radio guy there. Then we would really have those realities colliding into each other.
I can tell you a great story about him and me and radio, but we'll save that one for another day.
Oh, I heard about that one too, yeah. So some people don't realize there are a lot of Matt Joneses out there. All right, Matt, the day after Arkansas season comes to an end, it's a step back from the year before. So I look at last year, and I think of a team that was injury riddled, kind of beaten up, and didn't really have a lot of depth of pitching because of injuries, and ran into a buzzsaw in TCU. Now, there might have been a couple pitching injuries that left them, I'm not going to say thin, because they weren't thin as far as pitching was concerned. They were healthy when it came to the hitters and position players. I don't view Kansas State the same way that I do TCU, nor do I view SEMO. So that's what makes these last two games really tough.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I don't think they finished the regular season this year maybe as strong as they did last year. I know it was kind of similar in how the last 2 weeks played out. You know, last year was South Carolina and Vanderbilt, and this year is Mississippi State and Texas A&M. But they won the SEC last year. They only won the West this year. I think it was a good year with a bad finish. I do wonder how much the totality of everything that's happened with pitching kind of caught up with them at the end of the year. You know, I thought what made this team so good early in the season was that nobody was having to go the schedule, but a lot of it had to do with the fact that, you know, they were getting quality starts out of, you know, three starters for the most part every weekend. You know, they weren't playing five games in a week until into April. And then about that time is when Colin Fisher goes down and Hunter Dietz can't pitch anymore. And then your top two starters, you know, they're not going as deep into games. And any time that something like that happens, I mean, you know this, there's a trickle-down effect. And, you know, arms are going to get tired at the end of the year. And, I just kind of think maybe the innings and everything kind of caught up to this team. But, you know, it really comes down, though, to Hagan Smith just wasn't Hagan Smith, at the end of the Kansas State game. They had that regional set up perfectly for them. Up on Kansas State, mid-innings, you got Hagan Smith on the mound and, you know, plenty of your better arms to go in the bullpen. And, it's unfortunate that this is 2 years in a row now where he's given up a big inning in his regional start. And, as great of a pitcher as he's been, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people are going to remember that about him.
So when it happened last year, there was something in the back of my head that said, it's not that I expected him to struggle as badly as he did against TCU. It's just there was a level of inconsistency that Hagan had shown as a sophomore. That's why they took him out of the rotation, put him in the bullpen, and then put him back in the rotation again once he had kind of, you know, gotten through things a little bit more. This year, it was a consistent Hagan Smith every single weekend, every single Thursday or Friday, six innings, more than 10 strikeouts, two or less runs, usually one run or no runs, and utter dominance. And I thought they were being brilliant with the way that they were handling and meeting the coaches and saying, look, you know, you could go seven innings, we're going to hold you to six because we're going to keep that inning and save your bullet, so to speak, for June. And they did it all season long. There were probably five or six starts where, even in the post game, David said Hagan could have gone another inning. He didn't look like he lost anything in the sixth in those games. I thought it was a brilliant strategy. And you're right, they had it perfectly set up. That's where it doesn't make any sense. And if I look back on anything from this last season, it really is the clutch hitting and all of that. I get that was an issue, but they still were set up the way they wanted to be in the winner's bracket game on the Saturday in the regional. And that's what I'll take from this season right now. I hate it too, because what I want to take, Matt, is I want to remember everything about Hagan Smith before Hoover, which was amazing to watch. But we'll remember the fifth inning against K-State.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's so weird how that works out, because, you know, if they do get Benich Hagan Smith on Saturday night, for one more inning. And you know, he's pretty good for four innings. Yeah, but if he can get him through the fifth, sixth inning, Bites pitched really well. Probably the best I've seen him pitch this year. And you know, we're probably having a much different conversation today. Arkansas may be in a super regional at home. I think they're built for a super regional a little bit better than maybe they're built for a regional. But that's baseball for you. There's a real fine line between winning and losing, and they teetered it the other night, and you know, unfortunately, it ended up performing the way it did.
Are you in a mode right now of looking back, or are you in a mode of looking ahead? You know, because you are replacing a lot. And maybe that's just the case every year now. I know David mentioned that post game. They've replaced almost the entire team a couple years in a row. Got to do it again. But are you still in post-mortem mode, or are you in looking ahead mode?
Well, I think, I don't know that I'm in either, but I think if you're coaches, you're probably somewhere right between. I think that there's a, you know, any good coach is going to analyze what went wrong and, you know, try to you know, make sure that doesn't happen again. You heard Dave even asking a question in the post game yesterday. It was like, you know, maybe they were tired. Maybe in the future we get a 1 o'clock game in this situation, and you just show up at noon and go play like summer league baseball. You can kind of see the wheels turn in his head as he was analyzing, you know, what he had just seen less than an hour beforehand on the field. So I think there's some of that, but can't dwell on it for too long because, I mean, I don't know if you paid attention today, but the transfer portal is popping this morning.
Oh yeah,
and you got to get in there, and you're gonna have to have your team built, you know, over the next 6 weeks or so. I would think that we're gonna know most of the players who are gonna be on next year's team. Of course, you got to get through the draft, and that can change things. But with as many roster spots as they have open, I don't think you can dwell on this for too long.
It's like, so people would be like, so, you know, what do they need? What do they need going into this next season? I think the answer is yes.
They kind of need
a little of everything, too. I mean, I don't think they're going to – I think they'll go out and look for starting pitching. I think they'll go out and look for relievers, even though you've got a lot of good young talent that's coming back on the mound. As far as position players are concerned, you're replacing, like, everybody. Outside of Vahiva Aloy, you're replacing everybody.
Yeah, probably so. You know, and Ryder Helfrich, he may be their catcher. We've heard a lot of that talk this year that he's going to be the catcher of the future at Arkansas. I think they really like his upside. Nolan Souza, I think he's going to fit in somewhere. Yeah, and we talked about all this, assuming that these players are coming back, and I don't have any reason to believe that they're not going to be back, but it's a different time. I mean, you can't just assume that players are going to be back because they were on the roster this year. You know, but those are players who I think kind of fit into their long-term plans. But past that, I mean, they've got to have an entirely new outfield. They've got to have a new first baseman. They've got to have a new third baseman. Maybe Souza fits in at third. I don't know if he's a third baseman or a second baseman. I don't know where he fits in the field. It's like kind of a blank canvas. I think they do have a lot of pitching parts for next year. I thought Gage Wood was looking really good toward the end of the season, and that probably bodes well for him to have a prominent spot pitching next year, whether that's start or whatever it is with him. Gabe Gack will be back. Hunter Dietz, we didn't get to see a whole lot of him this year, but there's a lot of excitement about him. You know, you got Fouts, we mentioned Bybee. If all of those pieces are back, I think you like the pieces that are there in your bullpen. You know, potential with some pieces that you can get out of this high school recruiting class or out of the transfer portal. But yeah, position player wise, I just think that's how it's going to be for a while, because it seems to me, Phil, like it's weird as it sounds, it has been harder in the last few years to get the big position players through the draft than it has been for the pitchers. I mean, think about the pitchers who have shown up. You've had Hagen Smith. You've had Gabe Gackle, Hunter Dietz. Those were all big-time draft prospects. To a lesser extent, Brady Tigard. Adam Hatchman was a big, big draft prospect before he got hurt, and he didn't pitch this year. What position player could you put in that same class? Peyton Stovall, maybe Jason Jones to a little bit lesser extent. I think that we're going to see this quite a bit in the future of, you're recycling, or maybe not recycling, but, you're rebuilding your position roster quite a bit every offseason, probably through transfer portal and players who are older in those positions than they were 5 or 6 years ago.
So to wrap up here, one of the things that just is crazy about these last 2 years of a lack of success in the postseason is they've been not undefeated, but they've won every single series played at home 2 years in a row at Baum Walker, and then lost in the regional. It's like you try to jibe these things together, and it just doesn't jibe. They've lost the last three postseason tournaments or series at home, and I wonder if there's something to that. Do you?
Well, I mean, it's certainly something that I think, you know, you've got to think about. The feeling I got from people around the program was that they were almost relieved when they didn't have to play at Baum in 22. They'd played Vanderbilt there, lost to them at the regular season. You know, I think that there was kind of a feeling of, I don't know what the word would be, but it was like when they got on the road and they went to Hoover, I guess that road trip actually started, the end of the regular season. Then they go to Hoover, and then they get to go on the road to Stillwater. Something about being on the road just brought them together, and they played their best baseball at the end of that season. So, that's not to say they can't win at Baum, because they certainly can. For all the, the times that we've mentioned here the last few years, they won like five in a row before that, super regionals and regionals between 18 and 21 season. But it is interesting because they've been so good at home. And you figured, in addition to pitching, the one real strength this team had going into the postseason was that they had been so good at home. And that 33-3 record that they had included a lot of comebacks against a lot of good teams. And the fact that they weren't able to take care of home field advantage or take advantage of home field advantage, I think that was a big, big shock.
We'll leave it there, Matt. Appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much. And we'll do it again. We'll do it again sometime soon, okay?
Okay. Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
You got it. Matt Jones from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. And I also wonder, and maybe this is something I could have brought up with him earlier, but we do have to hit the break. When the Razorbacks have won every series at home the last 2 years, it's been series. A regional is not a series. A regional is something you never do in the regular season, and I still don't know why we do it in the postseason.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.